Proverbs chapter 29. And after you get there, hold that spot and go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 29 and 1 Timothy chapter 4. I would have attributed that string breaking to the devil, but it was kind of enjoyable just to be able to sing and not play. So if he was trying, it backfired because I enjoyed it. Are you all there? Look at me when you get there. Oh no. I usually don't have this much trouble preparing. For some reason, this week it was really difficult for me. And I don't know what that means. I don't know if the Lord has something really important He wants to say. But when I was preparing this, I didn't feel a whole lot. And I just felt like I really wanted to just share my heart and really just be warm and talk to you as if I was talking to an old friend about what God's burdened me with. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 12, it says, be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to the exhortation, to the doctrine. Don't neglect the gift that's in you, which was given to you by the prophecy, by the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue them, for the doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. When I was preparing, God really led me to this verse, and because I was like, oh Lord, what do I do? You know, I feel like I'm in the middle of a series, and I don't feel like I want to preach a series. And Pastor Mike hates it when people don't finish their series; and they just go off on tangents. You know, I won't be a leader anymore because I'm not going to finish my series. And I felt like the Lord was like, you know, it's so important that we remember the doctrine, and that word doctrine just means teaching. You know, what God's laid before us, the truth of the cross and the blood. And so even though what I'm going to talk about might not be about doctrine, we can't forget where we came from and what we're supposed to be focused on. The doctrine, the teaching that Christ laid before us, the cross, I'm saved by the blood, it's by grace I'm saved, it's not of my own works, it's not of my own merit, it's by faith in Him and faith alone that I'm saved. Not forgetting the doctrine that was laid before us and the good things that Christ has planned for us. Not forgetting that we have an eternal home, you know, remembering the doctrine and letting that be in the mainstay even when we preach on other things. So that's one thing I just want to give you before I go off, because I'm going to go off on lots of tangents, but all my tangents have a purpose. My tangents are good. You know, they're going to exemplify my point. Now, Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29, verse 18. And this is part 3. Seeing the vision, having goals, maintaining your convictions. This is the final conclusion. Seeing the vision, having goals, and maintaining your convictions. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. In Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, where there is no revelation or no vision, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. And all the other versions it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law is happy or blessed. And this is the last part. I'm talking about having vision. We talked about maintaining your convictions. We talked about having godly goals, focusing on your goals in the Lord. And this time we're going to talk about having the vision. And I'm going to attack it from a totally different way that I thought I was going to. First of all, let me define for you vision, okay? The root of that Hebrew word means just to have a sight. It's like a dream, a revelation, or an oracle, okay? To have the vision. It means like revelation, like it's translated in the New King James. But the root of that word, and the bulk of that word in Hebrew, means to gaze at, to mentally perceive, to contemplate with pleasure, to behold, to look, even prophetically. That's something. having the vision. Without the vision, says the people perish. In Proverbs chapter 29. So this is my summation. Without the mental gaze, without the contemplation and the acceptance of the truth of Jesus Christ and His blood and what He's done, without that vision, the people perish. For us, because that's our vision. We're New Testament believers. Without the vision, the people perish. Without keeping the doctrine, like I talked about, in the forefront of your mind, without that being your vision, the people perish. And it says they cast off restraint in the New King James. That means they commit sin. There's lasciviousness. There's no focus. That vision for you and me is Christ. And that's my first point. Your vision for you and me, our prophetic vision, our goal, what we seek to attain. It's like running a race. And I see it at the finish line. I see my vision. And that's what I want. That's what He spoke to me. First of all, it's the Lord. And that's the first focus. That's your first vision, is the Lord. And that's when we share. We share that. Not just personally. That's yours too. But also, your vision. What is your vision for where God's put you? Where He's placed you? Your work, your family. What's the vision the Holy Spirit's given you for the place you're in? You should have vision. And you think it might be out of context, or He's going off and taking things out of the Word. That's not true. It says, where there's no vision, the people perish. There has to be a vision. There has to be a goal. There has to be a purpose for you in Christ. You have to think about it and keep it in the forefront of your mind. You don't get up every day just for the sake of getting up, do you? There's a reason. There's a purpose. I have a goal, and each day I have a vision. Your vision, your focus, your forethought, your idea has to be the Lord. His encompassing character. And what if it's not? Because that vision will give you hope. And I was not going to talk about this, and I fought with it. I was like, Lord, I won't tell him that. This is between me and you. My vision, one of my visions, and Pastor Mark and Maggie know this, and I chew their ear off about it. You know, my vision is to be able to be in ministry, and I don't have to be a cop anymore. So sick and tired of it. You know? But this is where God has me. But that vision keeps me going. That vision is like, ooh, man, that's what I want. And I know that's what God spoke to my heart. And so, you know what, Lord, that's the vision You've given me. That's my vision. That's what I want. And You have it too. I don't know what it is, but God's given you vision. But first of all, that vision has to be the Lord. It has to be His will. It has to be His character in your life, being birthed in your life. What if you don't have that vision? I'm going to tell you a story about not having the vision. Okay? A couple days ago. It was yesterday. I get a call and, you know, beep, the radio goes off and, you know, I'm running to my car and I think it was a suicide. And, you know, the call's coming out and, you know, as they're telling you what the call is, you know, your heart starts beating faster and faster. You're like, oh, this is a for real one. This isn't a joke, you know. So here I go. I fly there. I'm the second person there. Call comes out. The guy's bleeding. He's dying. And it says he's got a knife. And he's got a butcher knife in his hand. He's cut his throat. He's cut himself all up. And so, you know, we glove up. And me and some other guys are running in. We get in there. And there he is, sure enough. He's cut his own throat. He's there. And he's laying there on the floor. And he's strung out. And so we go to detain him real quick, and I jump on top of him, you know, I'm gloved up, and we're holding him down. And he's cut his own throat, people. And I think he's dead. And this guy, as soon as we grab a hold of him, fights on. He's ready. He fights. He's ready to fight. So I'm fighting with this guy. Finally, we get him detained, and, you know, we cuff him up, and he goes to the hospital, and I stay with him, and he's fine. You know, he's just fine. And I get home, and I'm like, Lord. And it just, a light bulb went off. And the Lord just spoke to me and said, you people are like that guy. You are dying. You're bleeding out. You have nowhere to go, and you can't even recognize who's there to help you. You run in to save the day, and you fight with me. And he said, that guy, you think he had the vision? You think he had the focus? You think he woke up in the morning and was like, hey, you know, God's got a destiny for me. God's got a plan for me. And I'm going to walk that plan out with my whole heart. Absolutely not. That's why he was in the state he was in. Without the vision, the people perish. Without the vision, the people are going to try to take their own life. And I was sitting there, oh, Lord, you know, I'm at my desk in my office. Oh, Lord, you know, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to fight you, you know. And then the Lord even expounded on it. It was like, in that room, you were the only person that really cared for him. You were the only Christian. You're the only person that really understands what love is. And he's going to fight with you just like everybody else. Without the vision, the people perish. Without that focus, and I'm talking about, you know, pre-Christendom, pre-saved, you know, you fight against the Lord. You fight Him. Tug against Him. Do my own thing. And you're dying. You're going to die. Without the vision, the people are going to perish. We fight against the one that loves us. And it's so important for you to have that vision. And it gives you a goal, gaining Christ, gaining Him. That's number one. The cross, which equals Christ's love for us, the loyalty of His blood. That's why He said it's finished in totality. What He accomplished, He did exactly what God meant it to do. That vision gives me a goal, Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to give you what should be at the forefront of your mind every day. And if it's not, you can turn to these scriptures or read them. And it'll just encourage you, because it's going to give you hope. Because this thing is real. It's real. The Bible's real. It's not a fairy tale. It's not fake. It's not phony. It's not a facade. A bunch of guys didn't sit around and make it up. It's real. It's living and active. And it's alive in your life. It's alive in my life. It says that it's sharper than a sword. It's a living, breathing thing. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When you read it, you're changed. You'll be changed. You can't come in here and not be changed. You will. I was done with that page anyway. You'll be changed. That's why it says in Corinthians, that from glory to glory, even by the image of the Lord, you're changed. Are you all in Romans chapter 3? Okay. Romans chapter 3. Go to verse 23. No, I'm going to start at 21. But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, to whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness. Because His forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier, the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. Turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and rejoice in the hope, because I have a vision of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You don't have to die. Romans chapter 8, verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you wake up, you remind the devil of that. That'll give you hope for the day. You're justified. He loves you. He's covered by the blood. That should be your vision. If you wake up and forget, you need to shake yourself. Check yourself, lest you wreck yourself. That should be your vision. We forget. You're at work, going through the grind. You're at school, doing your thing. You forget. And I'm going to jump to the very end of my sermon. Because people will watch your vision. Your vision will become their vision. People will come to watch you burn. And if your vision is not Christ, and He's not what you see at the end, then they're not going to see it in you. What's the vision that must live in the believer, for the believer's foremost mind daily, is Christ. What else? What other visions should we have? What vision should you have personally? Because I already told you my deep, dark secret about wanting to be in ministry. That was just between me and the Lord. You have them too. Because I love to tell people, I've told you guys 100 times, you have a destiny, you have a purpose. God has a plan for you. Not me with you, not you and your wife, not you and your family, for you. God has something special for you to do. And no one else can do it. I can't take your place. God has something specific. And that's what bothers me sometimes because, you know, we let Him down. Something special, something specific just for you. Think about mighty men of God. Let's just take Billy Graham for example. Everybody knows who he is. Think about it. Hey, there's another sheet. Think about it if he said, Lord, I don't really have that vision today. I think I'm going to roll over and go back to sleep. God had a plan and a purpose just for him, just for his life. He paid a lot of prices. He had a hard life. I mean, there's a lot of sacrifices he had to make. There's suffering. People suffered because of decisions he had to make. But God had a specific plan just for him, just for his life. Every person that ever was born again or got touched by the Lord or got saved in one of his crusades, God foreknew that, foresaw that, and wanted that person. That person got the vision because of Billy Graham's vision. It's not meant to be heavy. Because I just read you what should encourage you. He's justified, propitiated, covered by the blood. He loves you. Nothing separates us from His love. Nothing. Nothing. Your sin doesn't separate you from God's love. It took me a long time for that to penetrate. I grew up in a Christianity that was so backwards. I didn't understand. I still can't really contend with the idea that when God looks at me, He sees me covered by the blood and sees me pure. I still have trouble people receiving that because of what I grew up in. Because I grew up in the works mentality that I had to do good, I had to be good. But man, it's freedom. The people perish. Without a vision, the people perish. There's no prophetic revelation, the people perish, or they cast off restraint. What has God seemingly spoke to you prophetically and given you vision? Given you vision for in your life? There's something. For focus. I'll be honest with you. This is one thing God put on my heart. I'll be honest with you. Some people have vision for this church, and some people don't. Uh-oh. Some people have vision for this building and for this body to go forward, and some people don't really care. It doesn't really matter to them. If you're here and you don't have vision for us to go forward, for your person you're sitting next to grow and to succeed, you need to get on your face before God and say, why am I going to that building if I don't have the vision for that place? You go find yourself another church, or you say, God, I want to have that vision. I want to see my neighbors succeed. I want to see them grow. I want to see our church have people come in and get saved, because this is where God's planted me. That's my vision. My vision is for... because this building is just a building without the people in it. It's not a church without the people. It's just a theater where people can dance and sing on here and worship the devil. But the people make it a church. We sanctify the building. If you don't have the vision for the church, get it. You have to have the vision, and that's one thing that we should share. But I know we don't. And that goes for other people in other churches. That's not just here. You go to a different church, maybe you're a visitor, you go to a different church. You better have a vision for that church. You better pray that God moves and that it goes forward. You got to have the leadership's vision too. This is an old principle I learned a long time ago, because it had been perverted and blown up and it caused poison and backbiting and gossip. If you don't have the vision of the leaders and the vision of your headship and your authority, you're going to have a big problem trying to be in that body. And I want to have the vision that the leaders have here. If they say go this way, God, give me that vision that we'll all go as one. It's like an army. You know? I can understand it a little bit. There's a bulkhead and here we are, you know? We got all these soldiers and we have to take that hill. You know, there's the enemy. What's our goal? To win. To take them out and to win. No mercy. No compassion. No, I'm going to try to shoot him in the kneecap. To win. And what if we all get there and make our plan, you know? Here's the battle plan. You do this, you do this, you do this. We're going to win. We're going to take it over. And we say, ready, break. And everybody goes in different directions. Some people are running over there, shooting that way. Some people are, you know, sprinting that way and throw their gun down. That's not the vision. The vision is when a church or a body see the same thing and they all want it. They get a taste of it. God gives it to them. That's what we want. That's where we're going. And they go together. Can you stop that? When the mass moves as one, it's going to be a lot harder. Do you fight one that has the same mindset than a whole bunch of people running hither and yon, helter-skelter all over like chickens with their heads cut off? And that's what most churches are. They come, you know, for the betterment of themselves. You know, seven steps to the better me, to my better self. Or like on the radio, the man church. You could come on Thursday nights for 15 minutes for donuts and coffee, because men don't like to sing and most of them don't even like to come to church. You can get your snippet of Jesus. Well, you know what? You're going to have a lot more than a snippet of Jesus in heaven, aren't you? So why do you want to go? So many people, you know, you just want a little peace or a little taste. There's going to be a lot more than that in heaven, so why do you belong there? A good layperson, a good church member, somebody that loves the Lord and that knows in their heart they're where they belong, is going to have the vision. I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to make it sound like I'm perfect, you know. There's times where I have to get on my knees and say, Lord, you know, you need to really put on my heart where this church is going and really give me a passion to go with them and really pray the direction that the pastors feel and have a burden to go the direction. Do you think I want to come Thanksgiving and serve a bunch of homeless people? Let's be real. Let's be honest with you. You think I want to do that? I deal with a lot of homeless people. No. What's the vision? Where's the direction the church is going? God, touch my heart. Let me go with them. Don't let me be left behind. Because, you know, people are left behind. Please catch up. Please catch up. Turn to Romans chapter 5. Somebody needs to hear this. I feel it in my heart. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. We already read this. Through whom we also have access by faith into His grace in which we stand and rejoice in what? Hope of the glory of God. Hope. What's the next verse say? Two verses down. Verse 5:5 it says, and hope. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who's given to us. When you have vision, when you have focus, when you have purpose, when you have a goal, when you have foresight, something maybe God spoke to you prophetically, just to you, it gives you hope. You think about all the people in the Bible that God said, you know, I'm going to give you a child. I'm going to give you a child. He speaks it to them. What does it give them? Hope. Hope. Have an expected end. What happened the day you got saved? Hope. Why are people so scared of dying? There's no hope. Why do people want to take their life? There's no hope. Why do people overdose? Why are people on so many medications? Not bagging medication. Because they don't have any hope. And that's what I mean by when I say vision. When you have a vision, you know, if this church is just going to stay here for all of eternity and it's just going to be the same amount of people and the same faces every day and go through all the motions every week, you know, 3 services a week, 3 days a week, 2 on Sunday, and that's it, there's no hope. It's the same thing. Where are we going? Where has God spoken? What's the vision? Going forward, right? Going beyond where we're at, right? Gives me hope, vision for the future. You know, my baby girl's not here yet. What's she going to look like? Who's she going to act like? Hopefully me. My wife thinks that's really funny. But vision, hope. Who's she going to act like? Who's she going to talk like? Is she going to be a rascal like the one we got? Hope. It doesn't disappoint us, does it? Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the purposes, plans I have for you," says God. "Purposes of peace and not evil, to give you a future and a hope." Or an expected end. A hope, vision. "Then you'll call on me. You shall go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You shall seek me. You'll find me when you look with all your heart." Without a breath of vision for our future, it will slowly perish in your heart. If you don't care what happens in your life with the Lord, don't care what happens here, that hope will be stillborn. If you don't feel direction from the Lord, And I have to clarify something. When I say direction from the Lord, what was my first point about having direct vision and direction? What's your first vision? Your first direction? Christ. Him alone. So you're without excuse when I say to have vision and have direction, because He is your direction. And in Him you're going to find. He says He'll direct your path, doesn't He? He says He plants the footsteps of the righteous, doesn't He? So if you don't feel a direction from the Lord and think that this church is maybe a social club, then the purpose in your heart, the vision in your heart, will die before it is born. What vision in the Word has God given to you? Is it leadership? Do you desire your neighbor to succeed? It's so with this church. It's so with your family. It's easy to want your loved ones to succeed, to have vision for, you know, your lost loved ones. I want them to be safe. I love this person. I want them to do well. That's easy. But what about the unlovely? What about those that hate you? A lot of people hate me. Do I love them? Do I want them to succeed? Do I want them to make it? Or do I just want to kick them while they're down? You know, when I preach, I'm not the kind of guy that I can be reserved. I'm not good at that. I'm not good at holding back. I'm not good at bottling things up when I start speaking. If you talk to me, you'll know just about all there is to know about me. And recently I found at work, I started actually having compassion on people and caring for them. This is a breakthrough. I have to cover up my heart. I have to be callous at times. I have to be stoic. I can't show emotion. I have to treat a dirtbag like a dirtbag. But I found the Lord really touching me, and for people that I won't go into detail, people that the world wants to crucify and lock up and throw away the key. The world, mind you. Not you that are sanctified, you just want to see them toasted, you know? But the world sees them as evil. And God just kind of said, you know what? Do you think they have vision? You think they grew up in a family with vision? You think somebody wanted them to succeed? Or you think they got beat up and molested every night? You think they had vision when they grew up, or was their daddy in jail? And mommy was doing drugs right in front of them on the couch. Do you think they had vision? Why don't you show a little compassion, punk? You don't know where they've been. Oh, God. Sorry. You know? Because your vision is going to become their vision. It's the easiest example I give you is your children, right? If I'm a couch potato, I sit around, I watch filthy stuff on television all day long. Sit around, drink beer, watch TV, you know, yell and scream at my wife all day long. I'm a bum. What are my children going to be? Bums. That's not 100% of the time. That's not always the case. You know? I mean, look at Kyle. But they're going to be a product of what they come out of, right? Vision. I want my daughter to have vision. Because mommy and daddy do. And then God, when they come to the Lord, God's going to give you your own vision, right? I don't know what it is, but there's something in your mind right now that you know God spoke to you. Whether it's just to be a good parent or whether it's one person God wants you to win to the Lord. God wants you to speak to this person. You know it burns in your heart. And you know God has told you to do it. There's something for each one of you. And it's special. It's just between you and the Lord, and He's given you vision. There's power walking with Him. There's power walking in Him. He gives power to the weak. Is your vision that the ones will grow into oaks planted by rivers of living water? Or are you content for them to be Jonah's vine? You have a vision for loved ones. You have vision for the ones you don't like. It's not just a calling. It's a focus. It's an eternal sight plan for the future. For your future. You have a destiny in Christ. You have a purpose in Christ. If you're His, He has a most definite work for you. That means a lot to me. Because that's special. That's something just between you and the Lord, right? He has something special just for you. This is what Matthew Henry calls the vision. Listen to this. The misery of the people that wanted a settled ministry, where there was no vision, no prophet to expound the law, no priest or Levite to teach the good knowledge of the Lord, no means of grace, the word of the Lord was scarce, there was no open vision. Where it is so, the people perish. The word has many significations, any of which will apply here. The people are made naked. That's another translation for that verse. Instead of the people perish, they're made naked. Stripped of their ornaments and so exposed to shame. Stripped of their armor and so exposed to danger. How bare does a place look without Bibles and ministers? And what an easy prey is it for the enemies to take their souls. The people rebel, not only against God, but against their prince, against good preaching that would make them good subjects. But for want of it, they are turbulent, factious, and despise dominions because they know no better. The people are idle, or they play, as the scholars are apt to do when the master is absent, and they do nothing to any good purpose, but they stand idle all day and sporting in the marketplace for want of instruction, what to do or how to do it. They're scattered sheep. They have no shepherd for want of the masters of assemblies to call them and keep them together. They're scattered from God and their duty by apostasies, from one another by divisions. God is provoked to scatter them by judgments. They perish. They are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See what reason we have to be thankful to God for the plenty of open visions which we can enjoy. The Amplified Version said, where there is no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But they who keep the law of God, which includes the law of man, are blessed, happy, fortunate, and they're enviable. This land is perishing because the people have no vision. Never in my life has it been so obvious. The people perish because there's no vision. And when I say that, there's no focus, there's no purpose, there's no rhyme or reason. Because we write it all off, we throw it all out, and anything goes. There's no vision. So the people die. I'm going to read you a story real quick. You can close your Bibles and just listen intently. There was a pool in Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. And an angel went down a certain time to the pool, and he stirred up the water. Whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease they had. Now there was a certain man. He was there. He had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he already had been in that condition for a long time, he said, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him and said, "Sir, I have no man." So put me in the pool. Your vision will be their vision, whether it's indifference or hope. And that's one thing the Lord always shakes me to the core with. There's a guy dying, lame, can't move. He's been in that state for 38 years. And the Lord says, "Do you want to be made well?" This guy says, "I have no man, not one, that will help me." And if you're following Christ, Pastor Mark said this morning, wrote it in my Bible, if you're following Christ, somebody is following you. That was powerful to me. Like, holy cow. If you're following Christ, somebody is following you. You may not know who they are until you get to glory. They watch you. And, you know, here's my disclaimer. Most of you, you have the vision. I'm not rebuking you. My tone may have sounded that way. I just get passionate. But most of you have vision, but you need to stir it up. It needs to be there. You know, most of the time I don't have the vision either until Tuesday nights. You know? That's pretty much it. But as I was preaching, I felt like somebody really needed to hear it. And now I know why it was so hard this week, because can I just talk to you for a second? If you want to go, you can go. Let me just talk to you. Pastor's giving me liberty so I can do this. You have to have a vision for where you are. If you're here, you know, at a prayer meeting a few weeks ago, we prayed in I really felt in my heart of hearts this place is going to start growing. And I don't mean just trickling in. I think there's going to be an influx of a lot of people. And I'm telling you that because I really feel that way from the Lord. And that takes me all the way back to saying, your vision is going to be their vision. If you don't have it, they won't have it either. If you're not following Christ, you're not passionate for the things of Him, they're going to watch you. Just like a little baby copies everything daddy does, follows him around the house, and mimics everything he does. It's the same way. You know, people will come in because of your vision. And that's what this church is made of. I know all of you. You got to have it, though. But it all starts with the Lord. With loving Him. With understanding that the blood covers you. And walking with Him. It's so difficult for me to get over my sin. Anybody else have a problem with that? My sin, it's like this huge hurdle. Oh, discredit myself every day for salvation. Because I sin. You know, people, that's not the case. If your heart is right, your faith, if you love Him, if you understand, if you're in His Word, cleanses you. That blood cleanses you. Keep the vision and keep going forward. You have to go forward. This church is going to go forward. Don't be left behind. Keep up. I'm telling you, you guys will be like, you were right. I'm telling you right now, it's going to grow. And it's going to be fast, and you need to be ready. Father, I thank You for Your Word, God. It's so encouraging. God, Your Word is so encouraging. It's just life, Lord. You know, it's not a bunch of fairy tales or stories. You know, when Samson took up the jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 men, it's not a fairy tale. It really happened. That really took place. When David killed a bear and a lion with his hands, that really happened. It's not a story. David killed a man that was 9 foot tall, bigger than him, stronger than him, and he killed him. That really happened. Your Word is really alive. It's true. When You say to call upon You and You'll answer us, it's really true. God, when You say You want to come and You want to change things, You want to move in power and You live in us, it's really true. When You say the Holy Spirit comes and indwells a believer and gives them power, it's true. God, we want to walk with You. God, give us Your vision. God, I don't want a vision of my own making. Something I read out of a book. Lord, speak to us and give us Your vision. God, give us Your purpose. Give us Your focus. And speak to us on an individual basis what You desire for us. What You expect of us. God, let us be faithful. Give us the grace to be faithful. Be merciful with us, God. Give us strength to walk in the way You've asked us to. For those that are weak, God, make them strong. Those that think they're strong, God, make them weak. God, let us walk with You. And most importantly, God, let us walk with You as one. God, let us walk as one. We are one in the body. We are one in the blood. God, we could be one in the Spirit. Almighty God, we thank You, Jesus. God, I just thank You for Your Word. It so uplifts. It brings hope. It gives life. When you read truth, the battle's always for truth. And then you have no greater joy than to see your children in the truth. In Jesus' name, amen.